at me, praise God. And we're looking at the third chapter there of Habakkuk. And we're just going to read a couple verses, and then we're going to give you the message the Lord gave us. We had no idea we was preaching tonight up until Sunday night. And when Pastor made the decision to leave early, and he asked us to do it, and I said, okay. And I told Becky, I said, I've been so studied up because I have quite a few preaching engagements the next couple of weeks. I said, well, maybe I'll just grab one of those outlines and I'll preach it, and we'll be ready that way. And the Lord said no, and he gave me this fresh message, amen. So that tells me it's meant for somebody, amen. Somebody sitting here tonight, this message is meant for you. And so I suggest that you just obey the Holy Spirit and just trust Him to lead you and guide you. When you found your place in Habakkuk chapter number 3, verse number 16, stand with us in reverence to the Word of God, and then we'll pray, and then we'll bring forth the message the Lord has laid on our heart, amen. Verse 16, we're just going to jump right into this. It says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to preach a message tonight on from worry to worship. From worry to worship. Let's bow our head and pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for those that stepped up to play the instruments, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for having a place to come to, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the praise reports, Lord, that was given here just a few moments ago. Lord, we serve a real living God. We don't serve a statue. We don't serve a human being per se. We serve a living God. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, Lord, to die on a cross for our sins, Lord, the sins of the world, that we might be saved. Amen. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this message, Lord. And you know my heart. And Lord, I ask that you just prepare my lips and my mind and my heart and this vessel, Lord, that's yours, that you made. I pray that you use me in a way that you see fit. And Lord, if there's anything that's standing in the way of me preaching this message tonight, Lord, I pray that you would just forgive me, wash me of it. And Lord, help me to just speak clearly, Lord, and you give me the words to say. Lord, I believe that this message is for somebody here tonight, Lord, because you gave this message for tonight. So, Lord, I ask that it just hit the mark. And, Lord, when the time comes, whenever you nudge on the heart, Lord, to come and talk with you, I pray that they would, Lord, before walking out these doors. Lord, we love you tonight. Watch over Pastor and his family. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all things. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, to understand what's going on here, we have to go back to chapter number 1 of Habakkuk here. And you see, in chapter number 1, the Bible says this in verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now, the first thing I want to show you in God's Word here is that he was burdened. This prophet was burdened for these people. Now, you say, what's so big about that? If you are going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins with a burden. Amen. Brother Travis is doing the homeless ministry not because he wanted his name in the papers and not because he wanted to be on the news and famous and all that. He had a burden for homeless folks and people in need. Brother C.T. Townsend is doing all these youth rallies and all these services around the South. It's not because he wants his name in lights. It's not because he wants the fame and the fortune. He has a burden for the youth of today. Amen. And I'm really praying that the Lord give me a burden for warm weather. Amen. Maybe a ministry in Hawaii would be nice, Brother Brett, because here it is April, and they're talking about snow and everything else. Amen. I'm burdened for warm weather, praise God. But you see here that Habakkuk here was burdened for his people. Now, if you went and read these verses in chapter 1, and if you go on to chapter number 2 and read them on your time of study, you'll find out that it's basically this, and I'm going to give it to you shorthand. It's basically the Lord has some judgment coming to the people here, and there's really nothing that Habakkuk can do, Brother Brett, to stop the judgment. The Lord has decided that He's going to have one of the enemies to rise up, and He's going to capture the people, and there's nothing that Habakkuk can do. And for us, if we had a burden, amen, and the Lord said there was nothing that we can do about it, I don't know about you, I know about me, it would break my heart. It would break my heart not to be able to do anything for these people that you have a burden for. And listen, when we get in those situations of life, we can begin to worry about things. We can begin to be hard on things, and we start thinking like there is no hope. But if you read on, you'll find out that Habakkuk, the prophet here, began to focus on what God has done in the past. He began to focus on what God will do and can do, and he began to worship, amen. A lot of times what happens with us is we just get down in the dumps worrying about things, and we forget to remember what God has done for us in the past, amen. What God has kept us from, what God has delivered us from, and we get caught up in the worry, and we stop and we fail to worship. So tonight, with the Lord being our helper, we just like to preach on that thought tonight, on from worry to worship, amen. Number one, worship comes from fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about trembling in your boots and like a scalded dog. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having respect and reverence for the Lord God Almighty, amen. And you see here that the prophet here in verse number 16, he said, now this coming off the heels of thinking about all the things that God has done. He says, when I heard, my belly trembled. Now, I like that right there, because that word tremble means to quiver, or to it began to shake and be I use the word afraid, but it says my lips quivered. That means his language. Now, I said this is out of reverence. Now, listen, when you may fear something, but listen, God is not into scaring you into His will. God is into you reverencing and knowing what God can do. Now, the Bible does tell us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Amen. It's in there, trust me. We'll look at it after service if you want to. But the fact of the matter is God is not in to grabbing you by your shirt and saying, you're going to do this or else. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve loves us, cares for us, and wants us to be obedient to Him. And listen, when the prophet hears, he said, I heard it, said my belly trembled. He said, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. What is that? He said, I've lost all my strength. I've lost everything. I'm thinking about everything that God has done, and it's brought me to my knees, so to speak. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you think about what God has done in your life, you will not walk around tugging on your shirt saying, look what I have done. You won't be like those NBA players and pop their jersey like they used to do. It will bring you to your knees and you'll say, God, I am humbled to be in your presence. God, you blew my mind once. God, you'll blow my mind again. And I am bowing down before you reverently. Amen. And listen, with growing up, this might sound whatever, but I was more scared of my mom than my dad. And I didn't mean I didn't get whoopings from my dad. Because he'd come with that belt when he'd come home from the mill, and I'd hide. But I wasn't scared of them because they were abusive. I was fearful of them, Brother Leonard, because I respected them. And they would whoop me for doing something wrong. We hear prayer requests about the schools and how classes act up. I got four words for you. Bring back the paddle. Amen. My sixth grade teacher had a paddle that had holes drilled in it. And just seeing that thing would cause me, I'm not going to act up today. I'm going to be good. Hey, listen, the Lord, we need to have that reverent fear of the Lord. We are His, And if you're doing something wrong, He's going to whoop you like you're His. Amen. Listen, when my kids act up in public, I'm here to tell you, they get spankings, they get whoopings. That may not be popular in these days, but in the Paisley household, that's how the things are run. Many of you seen what we did to them yesterday, amen. Maddie and Nathan just could not get along. And it got to the point, Brett, that I was about ready to pull the rest of my hair out, amen. And I said, you know what, both of you, come here. And they came in the living room, and they thought they were just going to get a whooping and continue on. I took one of my El Grande shirts, amen, and I put both of them in the same shirt. One had one arm out this way, the other had another arm out that way, and I made them hold hands in the middle. And they had to function, they had to work together to get anything done. And we're sitting around the table, and me and Becky's cracking up. I thought she was going to choke on her meal because she was laughing so hard. Because every time they wanted, we had a chicken sandwich, and every time they went to go pick up a chicken sandwich, the other one would pull one way, and they'd drop their food, and they ended up having to, Nathan would reach over and grab Maddie's sandwich, and Maddie would grab her sandwich, and he'd let her get a bite. They begin to work together, amen. But listen, what is lacking here is discipline, amen. And listen, if you do what's wrong in the eyes of the Lord, He will chasten you. He said, if you don't, you're a bastard, not a son. See, so it's a good thing when you get whooped, so to speak, because at least you know the Lord's hand is still on you. But you see here, He says in verse 16, He said, my bones, rottenness is entered my bones. He lost all strength, said, I trembled in myself. He said, but here's why. He said, because I know trouble's coming. He says, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When you know trouble is coming, if trouble, Miss Heather, scheduled an appointment at your house, and you knew when trouble was coming, I'm not too sure. I'd be like, well, let me rest. I would be looking for that trouble. I'd be trying to curtail that trouble. But listen, the prophet's saying, look, I know the trouble's coming, but I want to go to the one who can give me rest in time of trouble, amen. For every sickness that you face, there is rest. For every funeral home you enter into, there is rest. For every loved one we've lost, every spouse that's been lost to death, there is rest, amen. When everything looks like it's falling apart, you can jump on board with me anytime, amen. When everything looks like it's falling apart around you, when you've lost your job, when you have no money, when the lights begin to flicker because Nipsco's playing games, you can have rest, amen, in the Lord and only the Lord. You won't find it in alcohol. You won't find it in pills. You won't find it in Dr. Phil. You won't find it in the tabloids. You won't find it watching Oprah. You won't find it in the Yellow Pages. You can go to all the psychiatrists and psychologists you want to. They'll just take your money and run. The only time you'll find rest is when you have rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And Habakkuk said, I want that rest. He said, I know trouble's coming and I want that rest. I know trouble's coming, but I want that rest. Remind me of Miss Robin's prayer request. She said, let's pray for the family. Miss Michelle, don't think or doesn't feel like the cancer's going anywhere. And she said, pray that the Lord prepares their family. You know what that prayer request is? Pray that the Lord just gives them some rest. Pray when the things happen, however the Lord sees fit for that. You know what? As much as I say this, know my heart when I say this. The rapture could happen before cancer could take Chuck O'Day. My aunt is ate up with the exact same cancer my mom passed away from. The rapture could happen before that cancer takes toll. But we need to have rest in the Lord. How do you have rest in the Lord? By knowing Him. Amen. Worship comes from the fear of the Lord. You'll begin to worship when you have fear of the Lord. You'll begin to have rest when you fear the Lord. When you know that God's in control of all things, you can lay your head down tonight knowing everything's all right.
Amen.
Amen. And believe this or not, fear in the Lord will bring forth faith in the Lord. When you know that the very God that called the stars and the moon and the sun into existence, the very God that hangs the planet Earth on the middle of nothing, amen, just by speaking the words, the very God that looked through the splendor of heaven and found the sacrifice that needed to be made in His Son Jesus Christ. The very God created the animals. The very God that created night and day. The very God that created Adam from the dust of the earth. The very God that took Eve out of the rib of Adam. The very God that did these things. The very God that split the Red Sea in half so the children of Israel could walk across. The very God that walked with the children of the three Hebrew children through the fiery furnace. The very God that cut the lion's mouth shut with Daniel. It's the same God that I serve today. It's the same God that you serve today. And if He did it back then, He can do it today. Let us rest. Amen. I believe I almost preached on Daniel tonight. And I believe when Daniel was in the lion's den. Now let me say this. I don't have anything against the miniseries, the Bible that was on TV. It was good. It brought the Bible to the forefront. A lot of people watched it. But me being, I don't know if you did this or not, or any other preachers, Brother Russell, anybody, but being the preacher, you notice things that maybe other people don't notice. And one of the things I noticed when they did a story on Abraham, they had Abraham raise that knife above his son. And boy, he put the knife down and he just struggled with it. It don't say that in my Bible. When they got to Daniel in the lion's den, they had Daniel kind of like with a fearful look on his face. You won't find that in my Bible. Daniel had confidence in his Lord. And he said, you know what, if I go in the lion's den, I'm going to go in it trusting Him. The three Hebrew children, they didn't hold nothing back. They said, you know what, if God wants to deliver us from this fiery furnace, then so be it. But if He doesn't, we're going to go in that thing praising Him. They found rest in God. Not only will worship come from fear of the Lord, but also too, worship can happen out of nothing. Look what the Bible says here in verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Wait a minute. Now, I'm not no doctrine and all that stuff, but you don't have to go to the seminary to find out that this verse is talking about they had nothing. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zero. Not a vine producing fruit. Not a field producing grain. No oxen, no cattle to do anything. They had nothing, Brett. But we complain when we're forced to eat bologna sandwiches every night. Come on. You got to make boxed macaroni and cheese again? Oh, we got grilled cheese again. We complain when we have something. They had nothing. Nothing at all. And listen, the thing about it is true worship can come out of nothing, praise God. Why? Because as the old saying goes, when you're down to nothing, know this, God's up to something, praise God. When you come down and you have nothing in the barrel, know this, that God's going to take care of you. How do you know this, preacher? Because He promised it to us so many times over, amen. He said that God shall supply your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The last time I checked, He's not going to let us go hungry, Brett, amen. He's not going to let us starve to death, praise God. He will take care of us one way, one how. But I know this, that when I'm down to nothing, He's up to something, and I'm just going to trust Him, amen. And when you decide you're just going to trust God, you'll begin to raise your hand and say, you know what, I may not have the best, I may not have a lot, I may not have what I think I should have, but I have You, God, and I'm going to praise You, amen. One thing I want you to realize about this, thank you, son. One thing I want you to realize about this is this. Everything was gone but God. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit. You guys can just marinate in that for a little bit. And we'll flip you over in a minute. When the friends are gone, when the family's gone, when the finances is gone, when the food is gone, when the shelter's gone, when the money's gone, when you don't have enough money in the bank to write an IOU and all that's gone. Know this, God is not gone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I'll stick closer than a brother. He said, I've never seen the, somebody help me with that verse. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. or is he begging for bread? He said, what's that mean? That means this. I knew I could count on Miss Patrice. Amen. That means this, that he will not leave you in a position of wanting. He'll take care of you. But all these kids are walking around with Nikes. Be glad you got shoes on your feet. Well, I don't have all the designer clothes like all the other kids do. Be glad you got something covering you up. And we do a lot of shopping at the Village. And one time we was pastoring. And church members, God love us, they thought we was set. They thought we had money coming out the wazoo, and I'll tell you why. Because they seen our kids' clothes, and just because they had certain names on their clothes, well, they gotta have money. But little do they know, we was going thrift shopping and getting 2 for 50 cents, 3 for $1, amen. They didn't realize that. Why? Listen, let me tell you something. When God does a work in your life, it shall cause you to worship, amen. When God meets your needs and puts gas in your car when it's $4 a gallon, you need to praise God and say, thank you for getting us where we need to be, amen. When God gives you food on your table, I don't care if it's a hillbilly steak or a filet mignon, give God praise for it, amen. And worship Him when you're out of everything. Because when you're out of everything, you still got praise. You still got worship in your breath. Amen. He tells us that in Psalms, that everything that have breath, praise ye the Lord. That means when you get up in the morning and God has blessed you with another day, praise ye the Lord. When kids are possessed in the front row, shaking, praise ye the Lord. Amen. All right. Miss Patrice, give you sugar before you came. All right. When all things look like it's breaking down, praise God. Because you know what? God wants you in that position. God wants you not in a prideful state, but He wants you on your knees saying, God, I don't know what else to do. God, I don't have 5 cents to put in the gas tank. So if you want me to get from point A to point B, it's got to come from you. You know what happens? God comes through. Every time. We need a certain amount of money to go on this trip to Tennessee. I told Beck yesterday, whether we have it or not, we're going to Tennessee. Because I know that God will provide. Now she messed the whole thing up because we was talking at the kitchen table. She said, well, I just hope God doesn't wait till the day before to provide and meet our need. I said, you know what you just did, don't you? I said, we're going to be waiting till the day before, and God's going to come through. But know this, God will come through. Worship can happen out of nowhere, out of nothing. Number three, worship is a choice that we make. Each and every one of you, within the sound of my voice tonight, made a choice. And you chose to be here. You chose to come to church. Now, some of you, some of the kids, some of the younger folks, I didn't have a choice. They made me. Well, that, praise God. Amen. Praise God. But you and your old enough, Christian Miller, don't have to be here tonight. She could be anywhere else. Daddy's out of town. She's here. Amen. She could be anywhere else. But she chose to be in the house of God. I could call up Brett and say, Brett, I just don't feel like preaching tonight. Preach tonight whatever. But we chose to be here. But see, the thing about it is this. When you look at it, look at verse number 18. He said, after all this, after everything is gone, there's nothing to be had. Look what he said in verse number 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying this. He's saying that I will rejoice. That word rejoice there means to triumph or to jump for joy. Now, I can't do the pulpit push-ups like Pastor does, amen? But listen, when you decide and make a choice to rejoice, that means that you're triumphant. That means you're jumping for joy, amen? You are excited about what God is doing, amen? Even on your darkest day, you can still know that God is on His throne, amen? When you're walking through the valley, you can know that you're in between two mountaintops, amen? God is doing something. And He said, I will rejoice, amen. How do you know it's a choice? Because He said, I will. I will. He didn't say, God made me. He didn't say, I have to. He said, I will. How many of you tonight is willing to make that choice? I will rejoice. When everything seems like it's going haywire, I will rejoice. What he says here, he says, I will rejoice. That means that's a triumph or jump for joy. That's the decision. We all have decisions to make tonight. We all have decisions to make. We all have to make a choice on whether we're going to worship the Lord or not. Every single one of us has the free will to go home and pout. Some of us have. And then we also too have the choice to say, you know what? I'm going to serve you, Lord. Look, I want you to look with me real quickly. We're going to turn over this verse. Some of you may know where I'm going. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24, verse 15. This verse right here is a popular verse. It's on a lot of plaques in people's homes and, you know, on t-shirts and things of that nature. But I want you to see here tonight that your worship is a choice. God is not going to force you into His house. Amen. God is not going to force you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He recommends it. He says that we shouldn't forsake it, but He's not holding a gun to your head saying you have to do it. Look at this in verse chapter 24, verse 15. This is Joshua here saying, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, look what he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He says, listen, if you don't think it's okay, if you don't think it's right to serve God, you have a choice to make. He said, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and you got to determine which side you're going to stand on. But look what he says. Let's read on. He says, whether the gods of which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land ye dwell. But look what he says here. He made his choice. He says, but as for me, here's the kicker, and my house, we will serve the Lord. What choice are you making tonight? You say, well, preacher, I got everybody fooled because nobody knows why I'm really here. God does. Well, I'm just sitting here going through the motions because I'm trying to make Daddy happy and Mommy happy, and you know, just keep them off my back for a while. But you know, when I leave here, I ain't going to go to church no more. You don't think God knows that? You don't think God knows what's going on in your heart? He knows what's going on in your heart before you even know what's going on. You can't fool God. You can't fool the Lord. And the choice that we have to make, he says, yet I will rejoice. That's his decision. He says, in the Lord, back in Habakkuk chapter number 3 and verse number 18, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. That's the direction. Do you know that you could serve other things other than God? If you wanted to, you could stay home on Super Bowl Sunday and you can worship that TV and you can worship that game. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. If y'all won't join me, I'll have service by myself. Amen. You can go to the clubs and you can go to the bars and you can do all these things and you can choose to put those things before God. But He doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you to go back to the life He's brought you from. He doesn't want you to go back to the environment that is not good for you, not healthy for you. But listen, we all have a choice to make. God didn't force me to get saved. You know what He did on that day? I was 10 years old. He just knocked on my heart's door. That's all He did. I'm sitting in the back pew at a funeral in Kentucky. And I'm sitting there, and the preacher's preaching on heaven and hell, and the dear sister that was in the casket, he was talking about how she's entered into heaven. Her name is Charlotte Brown. Some of you may know her. That's where I got saved, praise God. But I was sitting back there, and I was sitting at the very edge of the aisle. It was my dad next to me, my mom next to him, and my sister next to her. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit was knocking on my heart's door. He wouldn't leave me alone. But He never took a gun and said, you had to get saved. He's just saying, look, it's time to make a choice. And when I chose, I didn't go down to the front. There's a casket up there. I was scared to death. I was 10 years old. Amen. I know some adults that won't go into the funeral house because of the casket. I bowed my head right there next to my dad. And I was 10 years old. I didn't know much about sin and all that. I just said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I want you to save me. You know what happened? The knocking stopped. Why did the knocking stop? Because he entered in. If somebody's at your house knocking on your door, and you open the door and you let them in, do they continue to knock on your door? If they do, they would not be invited back to my house. Sit down, relax. But the knocking stopped. Why? Because I invited them in. I said, Lord, save me. Nothing fancy. I didn't sprinkle myself and all that stuff and say, oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, mighty are you. And I didn't say all that. I didn't know all that. I just knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I knew that He was the way out. I made a choice. You're sitting here tonight. All of us may profess salvation. All of us may have said, well, I asked the Lord in my heart. And I did it on my terms. I did it on my... You know, you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you. That'll blow up some people's theology. What do you mean? Well, we just take people over this little room. We tell them to say a prayer and they say it and then they're saved. That ain't salvation. Salvation is when the Holy Spirit draws you, convicts you. You realize that you're lost and undone and on your way to hell. And listen, I'll tell you what, as a boy 10-year-old, it scared me to death, Brother Brett. But I left that place happy because I didn't have to be scared anymore. A choice needs to be made. You see here, Habakkuk said, you know what? Through all this hard stuff that's coming, even though we have nothing, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He made the decision. He had the direction. He said in the Lord, he said this in verse number 18, and we're almost done. He said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. He said, you know what? I want to praise the Deliverer. I'm going to ask you a straight up question. You ain't have to answer it. You don't have to raise your hand. You ain't even got to tell me a lick of anything. But what has God delivered you from? Now, some of us may have a list like they did in those old English days, the rolls, and we can roll it out. And it'd go down the street. Some of our lists might even turn the corner and keep going. Some of our lists may even get on Klein Avenue and just keep rolling. Amen. But listen, what has God delivered you from? He's delivered each and every one of us from something. If we're saved, He delivered you from hell. If you're sitting here lost and undone, guess what? He can deliver you from hell. Some of us He's delivered from alcohol. Some of us He's delivered from drugs. Some of us He's delivered from cigarettes. Some of us He's delivered us from overeating. Some of us He's delivered us from cancer. Some of us He's delivered us from other sicknesses. He's delivered us from losing homes. He's delivered us from losing jobs. He's delivered us from losing cars and family members and all these things. But He delivered us. Isn't that somebody you would choose to worship? I was reading a book today, and I won't tell you the author of it because some of you probably criticize me. I'll tell you afterwards, you're going to know. But he made this statement, and it stood out to me, and I'm going to share it with you. He says this. He says, do you know that Satan is the biggest loser? He's the biggest loser. And I read on, and I began to read what he said. He said, he was an ex-employee of heaven, and he got fired. I'm like, wait a minute now. What are we talking about here? I'm like, wait a minute, that's good. He said he's a former employee of heaven, and he got fired. But he portrays himself as having all the answers. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he's a loser. Why do you say that for, preacher? Because in the end, he don't win. Don't you want to be on the winning side? Don't you want to be on the winning team? If I ever was good enough to go pro and play sports and God revealed to me that this team is going to be a dynasty and they're going to win every year and you have a choice which team you want to be on, I'm going to be on the dynasty, Brett. Play next side of Jordan. Forget Derrick Rose. I'm playing Jordan. Amen. You would be on the winning team. Why? Because you knew. Hello? The Lord calls us in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 28 or 30, somewhere around there. He says, you're more than conquerors. Now let that sink in for a minute. That means you are more than victorious. That means you're more than on the winning side. That means you're more than just the winning team. That means the battle has already been fought and it was won on Calvary's cross. And every time a soul gets saved by God's amazing grace, they are on the winning side. Amen. And we are more than conquerors tonight. So stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to his lies. Stop listening to him tell you how worthless you are. You are somebody to Christ. Amen. You're such a somebody, you're worth dying for. Praise God. When he hung on the cross, listen, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I'm not a conqueror, Brett. I tell you what, I'm weak. You put a Suzy Q in front of me right now, I'm eating it. Because I'm weak. I seen today that Twinkies are making a comeback in July. I did a backflip. That's how I really threw out my back, amen. Twinkies coming back. We are more than conquerors. Habakkuk said, you know what, with everything that's going on, he said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Worship is a choice we make. I believe this with all my heart. The last one tonight, we see that worship comes from fear of the Lord. Worship can happen out of nothing. Worship is a choice that we make. Fourthly and finally, worship helps us to overcome. Look at verse 19. He said, listen, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now, when I studied this out, I really did. I about shouted the house down because the Lord's just good. Amen. But he says this. He says, and he will make my feet like hinds feet. Now, I'm not a bright man. I don't claim to be. So I had to go look up what in the world is hinds feet. And what it is, it's a doe. A female deer. And this is how good God is. It pays sometimes to have useless knowledge, Brett. Because I want to tell you what the first thing that came to my mind. And some of you may have seen this video or not. I don't know, but this really happened. There was a video of a state trooper. And you know how they have the cameras on the dash and they can see in front of them and everything. And there was a car that was just driving along. He was just following along, nothing happening. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, a deer just jumped clean over the car. Didn't miss a beat, Brother Leonard. It went from one wooded area to the other wooded area by leaping clean over this vehicle. Now, the reason why that video is significant to me, because it took me right back when I studied this verse, the Lord laid this on my heart using that video in mind, is that as a child of God, when we worship, it helps us overcome. And he says, like hinds feet. You know what that means? That means that we can leap over our obstacles. Some of y'all ain't getting this tonight. You do not have to be occupied by your obstacles. By God's grace and worship in Him, you can leap clean over your obstacle and land safely on the other side. The deer didn't get hurt. In that video, that deer just ran. I ain't a deer by any. I'm more like a bull or something, amen. But yeah, that deer just ran and it's like, whee, and jumped over and landed on the other side and just. And listen, we can do the same thing with the obstacles that stand in our way. What does the Bible tell us about mountains that stand in the way? It said, but have yet a faith like a mustard seed. How many of you ever seen a mustard seed? Not enough of you, amen. I want you to see this. This is in the front of my Bible. And I don't let anybody just see in my Bible, but I have this in here. I'm going to share it with you if I can get there. Amen. I think I got paper clips and everything else holding it together. But in my Bible, let me just tear this stuff out. In my Bible here it is. Thank you, Lord. This right here is a mustard seed. Y'all see that? I'm just going to do a little trip around here. I want you to see that. That little thing taped on there, that's a mustard seed. You see that? Y'all see that in the back? Okay. This right here. Well, you guys got the young eyes. Y'all should be able to see that. That right there is a mustard seed. Y'all see it? Just right there. You got one too? Miss Brenda's got one. Y'all see that? The Lord said, if you just have faith, like a grain of a mustard seed. This right here, Brother Keith, will move mountains out of your way. Not the mustard seed itself, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that, Christian? It's a mustard seed, amen. Don't listen to her. False preacher, amen. Mustard seed, a grain as a faith as a grain of mustard. That's in Matthew 17:20. What are you saying, preacher? You need to have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, worship helps us to overcome. What is the obstacle in your way? What is standing in your way? The Lord tells us here, He says, the Lord is my strength and He will make my feet like hinds feet. And He will make me to walk upon my high places. That right there is a elevation. Now, the words high places there means elevation or height. What does that mean? That means when you think that you're the lowest of low, the Lord can take you to the highest of highs. Amen. He can elevate. Listen, where God liberates, He elevates. Praise God. And listen, you can get from out of that valley. You can get from out of that dump. You can get out of that miry clay. And you can be elevated by God's strength, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and praise God is salvation. Amen. Miss Patrice said, you know, she likes the fact that she can be a light in the ghetto and not live like the ghetto. What is that? That's God elevating her. People say like, oh, the ghetto. Oh my goodness. That sounds terrible. But you know what? God has elevated her. In the darkest of places, Brett. When I went through depression and all that stuff, I got to the lowest of low. But you know what? I don't have that no more. Why? Because God elevated. Miss Teresa made the same thing. She praised God that she overcame her depression by God's grace. Who needs to be elevated tonight? Not pridefully. Not saying, well, you know, look at me. I'm preaching tonight and God just elevated me. No. I'm saying humbly before the Lord. So, Lord, I need you to lift me up. I believe it was Miss Heather that posted something earlier in the week. And pastor gave an example of Peter when he walked on water. And listen, Peter was drowning. Now this blows my mind, and you know where the scripture's at, and I'm gonna close with this. But this blows my mind. Why? Because Peter was a fisherman. He was always around water. He was always on the boat. You're telling me that boy don't know how to swim? Apparently he didn't. Because the Bible says as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And what did the Lord do? He wasn't crying out for salvation, by the way. He was crying out for deliverance. Basically, if I could put it into the Bill Paisley translation, it'd be like this. Help! I'm going down! That's how my version would read, amen. And the Lord reached out, grabbed him, pulled him up. He elevated him from where he was heading. Where are you heading tonight? Now, the Bible will say this. So I'm going to step out here and just speculate. I don't know if the Lord carried him back to the ship as the Lord walked on water, or if he held his hand and they walked on water together to the ship. I don't know. Use your imagination. We'll ask Peter when we get there. Amen. But the fact of the matter is this. When he cried out for help, the Lord was there to pick him up. Some of you need to be picked up tonight. Preacher can't do it. Deacon can't do it. Other preachers in the house can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your family can't do it. The only one that can do it is the Lord. The only one that can pick you up from your miry clay, from your horrible pit, from your time of trouble, from your time of heartache, from your time of despair, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. You can't say, well, I'm going to wait until the time is right. Guess what? Time's running out. Time's running out. But you and I need to make the choice that worship helps us to overcome. I believe this with all my heart. I'm going to say this and we're going to be done. He is our strength. Know this, that God is able. God is able. And I'd kick myself all night if we didn't turn over there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Y'all can take away my food or whatever. Amen. But that's all right. We'll be okay. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Brother, are you there yet? Go ahead and read it out loud. Stand and face him and read it out loud, please. Yeah, chapter 3 and verse number 20.
Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly.
What was that first part?
Now unto him that is able.
What's up right there? Who's able? Jesus. He's able. Read on.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
All right, go back about midway. What's it say? He's able to what?
He's able
to do?
To do exceedingly abundantly.
Now, do you have definitions in your Bible?
No.
No?
That means this, and I'm gonna Bill Paisley phrase this again. Exceedingly abundantly. That means he'll blow your mind. Read that last part.
Above all that we ask or think.
So what?
To the power.
Go ahead.
That worketh in us.
So what is he saying? That the Lord is able to blow your mind and do things that you're not even able to ask or think of. I'm sorry. That thrills me. And I'll tell you why. Because when I don't know what to ask for, God's already got it on the way. And it's not in my power. It's not in my strength. It's not in your power or your strength. It's in His power. Amen. It's in the Lord's power. So listen, He is able. The second thing I want to share with you, that I told you about the deers. They're swift and they can leap over obstacles and all that. God elevates. But here's the last thing I want to share with you. Verse 19 back in Habakkuk. He says, "And walk upon my high places," he said, "to the chief singer and my stringed instruments." Jesus will always give you a song to sing. You may not be the best singer, but this is not American Idol. This ain't the X Factor. This ain't the Voice. Amen. We got a shout out there, praise God. For some of the older folks, this ain't Star Search. God ain't looking for excellent singers. You know what He's looking for? Somebody just to make a joyful noise. That means to the drunkard that was out on the street that accepted Christ in that old homeless shelter, he can raise his voice and make a joyful noise. To the 7-year-old kid that came down an altar and asked God into his heart, he can make a joyful noise. To the 90-year-old, to the 70-year-old, to the 80-year-old that's sitting in a nursing home right now, saved by God's amazing grace, they can make a joyful noise, Brett. To those that were hooked on drugs, to the prostitutes that accepted Christ as their Savior, they can make a joyful noise, amen. To the preacher, amen, who's been down and out and been kicked around, he can make a joyful noise tonight. To the deacons who are laboring in a church house, they can make a joyful noise. To the husband and wife whose marriage was brought back from the brink of destruction, they can make a joyful noise tonight. For those that were looking for a church house to come to, and the Lord led them to the right one, they can make a joyful noise tonight. But anybody who's accepted Christ as their Savior, they can make a joyful noise. Why? Because God will give a song to sing. Amen. If you're going through your day and the devil's just beating you up, just start ringing out victory in Jesus. Amen. When you feel like everything's just going the wrong way, you start singing Amazing Grace. When you start singing, people say, "Well, you ain't what you used to be." Start singing Just As I Am. Amen. Listen, when you feel like you have nothing to give, start singing I Surrender All. Praise God. And listen, you can sing a song that the angels cannot sing. Why? Because we have been redeemed. Praise God. We need to worship tonight, amen. We need to trust Him and to know that, listen, worship helps us to overcome. He will give you a song to sing. How many of you are singing tonight? Preacher, you never heard my voice. I don't care about your voice. I ain't even talking about physically singing. It'll come out that way. But I'm talking about when you start focusing on what God has done for you. Boo, I know you're hurting tonight. You mentioned it in your prayer request. But you know what? God will give you a song to sing. Brother Leonard, I know that you're concerned and worried about Miss Sue, and we all are, but I know you more so as her husband. But God will give you a song to sing. Me and my family, we're going through a storm that we've been going through for about 2.5 years. But you know what? God will give us a song to sing. Miss Sharon, I know you miss Brother Steve, as we all do, but I know that you miss him as his wife. But you know what? God will give you a song to sing. Brett, I know you're battling with your HAE. And man, that stuff flares up out of nowhere. And I know as a man, you're thinking, man, I should work, but God's got another plan for you. You know what? You still have a song to sing. And yeah, I know you've been looking for jobs and you're just trying to get something stable and full-time. But you know what? God will give you a song to sing. Miss Pam, you travel all the way from the deepest, darkest parts of Illinois to get here. You know what? God will give you a song to sing. Keith, you've just been saved this year. Amen. God will give you a song to sing. Miss Teresa, I know times get tough and finances get rough, but you know what? We have a song to sing. Elena, you're graduating this year and you're entering into the world, but let me tell you something. Take that song that God gave you to sing and sing it. Sing it. God has been too good to us. This doesn't honor God at all. But when we lift up our hands and we say, you know what? I don't know anything else to do but to worship. It'll help you overcome what's going on in your life. Don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. Start rejoicing. Start rejoicing. Start lifting up holy hands to God and say, you know what, God? I'm going through a storm, but no matter what, you're good. Oh, God, I'm going through some heartache, but you're good. God, I've been through this and that, and I feel like I can't find my way out, but you're good. God's good. If you believe that tonight, give me the loudest amen you possibly can. God is good.
Amen.
He has been good to you and I beyond measure. I said it when I prayed, and I mean it. It's been on my heart this whole day. We thank God for the things that He's done for us, but what has He done for us that we haven't seen? What has He kept us from, Brett? Oh, my car won't start. Why does it always happen to me? And next thing you know, you drive down the road, it's a big car pile up. Well, you know what? I can't. So-and-so's on my mind. I'm just going to give him a call. I really don't like to be on the phone, but I'm going to call him anyways. You call him up and you find out they're getting ready to take their life. What has God done for us? If the only thing He ever done was, and I promise you, I'm gonna shut up, but I'm just having myself a good time, amen. So I'm preaching, you're not, amen. I'm kidding. If God doesn't do anything else for us but send His Son to that old rugged cross, that is worthy of a lifetime of praise.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to ask you to come. Josh, come back up on this piano, buddy. And you just play softly. Brett, go ahead. Brother Leonard, get on the instruments. I don't know your heart tonight. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with us. And I want you to play it, Josh, just like you played it before. Just real soft, real slow. Everybody stand up if you're able. If not, you can go to God in prayer right where you're at. But I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Every kid, bow your head. Nobody looking around, nobody playing. You say, preacher, God has been good to me. But somewhere along the line, I've lost my worship. And I want it back tonight. Would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I ain't going to call you out. I ain't going to point you out. It's time for you to meet business with God. God bless that hand. Will it be another? Altars are full. There's room for you. You say, preacher, I don't even know what in the world you just preached about tonight, because I've never once asked the Lord in my heart. You were talking about this salvation thing that you experienced as a boy of 10 years old, but I've never experienced anything like that. And I'm lost. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know the Lord, but I'd like to. Will there be one? Just one. You can slip it up. You can put it down. Not going to call you out. Not going to come to you. We're not in the business of embarrassing. But it's time. Time's running out. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I've asked God in my heart. I've been